Greetings in Jesus' name. I think we've been blessed this morning already by just the things that were shared with us. God's word was shared with us, and there's something there for each one of us. This morning I'd like to turn to James chapter 5 and look at a few verses here, and maybe we can just pause and have a time of prayer before we look into this chapter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word that was already preached to us this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to take those things and that they would that we would apply them to our lives and that we would grow in you, Lord. I thank you for the things that you have laid upon my heart this morning, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just give me the ability to share the things that you have laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, and Lord, that your will would be accomplished in each one of our lives. We thank you, and we just want you to receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 5, I'd like to go down to verse 7 and read down to verse 11. Some verses that I've been pondering. I just read through James here recently, and there was in verse 7 here, starting in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." I guess what, as I was reading this chapter, what got my attention here in verse 7 there is the early and latter rain. And when we think about the spring rains and the fall rains, and growing up as a living on a farm, in dealing with land, planting seeds, and raising crops, and being involved in harvest time, you know, planting the seed was an exciting time. There was expectation of things were going to grow, and you watch the plants get green and start growing in the spring. The fields became alive. But sometimes that in-between stage, there was, you know, reason to be concerned or wondering what's going to happen next when rain didn't come when we expected it to or were hoping for it to come. And sometimes in our Christian life, it feels like that sometimes. You know, we come to know the Lord, and we feel our life is changing and growing, and we're excited. And then, you know, it's in that maturing time when life, it feels like sometimes life gets uncertain, and we're looking for the next thing, and we're praying that those latter rains would come, and we're we get concerned, and I believe that God lets us go through those times, not by accident, but intentionally. He has a plan for us, and so we don't need to, we need to learn to rest in the Lord in those times. And so the title that I would like to, or the thought that I would like to leave with us here is to be patient and to endure. So with those thoughts there, if we just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and there's just a few verses here in this chapter that I would like to read. And starting in verse 1, in chapter 11, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his act, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and the king of Egypt unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day." And then if we jump down to verse 9, "That you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinkest water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." I'm going to stop there. We go back to verse 11 there. I just liked what it said there. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and the drinkest water of the rain of heaven. In verse 10 there, it was talking about in Egypt, when as a farmer, the way they raised their crops, and they were responsible to make sure that the seeds and the plants and life got the proper amount of water. And, thinking about our life back in Egypt, we tried to do those things in our own hands, and we tried to take care of our lives. And we know that didn't work out so well, but in verse 11 here, God was telling them that the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and that I'm going to take care of the water needs that you have for your crops, for your life, and that, you know, from the early rains to the latter rains, you know, sometimes we're going to wonder, and it's going to feel like, you know, it's like, well, we need rain, we need some life here, and it's in those times that we need to have patience. We need to trust God that He knows what He's doing, and He has a plan for us. We see here the promise here, a land which the Lord your God cares for. You know, He cares for them. And the promise was that His eyes, the eyes of the Lord is always upon you. That's a promise that we can have from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I will give you the rain of your land in His due season. And the reminder again that sometimes, you know, it takes patience to wait on the Lord. In Hosea, in chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 there, wait on the Lord. He will take care of you. That's the message there that we see in those verses that, you know, we're encouraged to wait on the Lord. And the promise is that when we wait on the Lord, He will take care of us. And, you know, what does waiting on the Lord look like in our lives? We, you know, when things don't happen exactly the way that we envision them to happen, at times we find ourselves trying to take things into our own hands and to make them happen. And we've probably all been guilty of that at one time or another in our lives. And we know the results of that. We know that it typically doesn't bear good fruit. But we also know what it feels like when we take the time and we have patience and we don't understand, but we willingly wait on the Lord. And the fruit that we see coming out of that when we do that. And that is beautiful. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we see here this verse gives us a clear picture of God's heart, that He's not delaying, He's not trying to make life difficult, but He wants to take His time. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We turn back to James chapter 5. and going back to these verses here that I started reading at. So the farm experience for many of us is probably fairly familiar. Most of us raise gardens or do have raised gardens or planted things in maybe in a garden setting. We have more control. We can water. If we have good wells, we can water our plants if there isn't rains. But when you have a larger crop and you're not set up with irrigation, we don't have a lot of options. We must wait on God for the rains to come. And in a way that is beautiful, because we can quickly see, you know, where we stand, whether we have patience and trust, whether we're going to endure the dry season in that way of life. And so I like that scenario in a farmer's life. And, you know, if we can have that in our spiritual, our walk with God, and learn to be patient, it's very beautiful. In verse 8 here, as we come out of verse 7 there and going to verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's calling us to be patient, to establish our hearts, to endure all the temptations and trials of life in these times. And he wants us to be able to patiently combat these things in our lives, to combat the power, the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of defeat that can come sweeping over our lives. He wants us to be patient, to endure, and you know, he reminds us here, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, those latter rains, the Lord is coming back again. When we remind ourselves of these things, it should give us hope and courage, and or maybe a warning that, you know, God is coming back. Am I ready? He is going to reward his faithful children. You know, when we think about the Lord coming back, his desire is to come back and to reward those that are faithfully following him. Not perfect in ourselves, but perfect in Jesus. So it is important for us to be patient. Patient, we think of being constant, steadfast, enduring, and the kind of patience that we see here isn't just something that we attain of ourselves, but it's something that the Lord, I believe, gives us in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23, it reads about, it tells us about that. So this patience, you know, it doesn't just sit back and accept, but it confronts trials and temptations. This patience, you know, goes out to conquer them. We patiently confront them to, you know, we don't want to be defeated by them. but we want to be victorious. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I've written in my Bible there that, you know, faithfulness in that self-control, you know, that it's something of God that He enables us to do that. So, do we listen to the Spirit of God, or do we give in to the enslavement and discouragement and defeat that we feel pressing in at times in these dry times? We must establish our heart on Jesus. Means to set upon, to fix, and think about His return. As I was pondering this, it's like spring coming and being ready for when spring is there. And when I think of a farmer and spring, you know, I think about the time that we spent preparing equipment and making sure we were ready when we were able to go into the fields. There was plenty of fertilizer in the barn. There was plenty of seeds to be planted, and we were ready. And when we're in that state in life, you know, it brings peace. There's, you know we did what we're supposed to do. But, you know, if we're not ready, and we know that, you know, at such and such time that it's going to be time to go out and do the work. You know, we think about the Lord coming back, and it's like, well, I still need to, there's some things I need to take care of. I'm not ready. You know, that brings uncertainty, and it should. And so let's strive to, you know, be at that place of peace, knowing that we are ready. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, when we find our heart in that state, it brings peace and joy. And we can thank the Lord, and we're just rejoicing. Verse 9 here in James chapter 5 talks about grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You know, complain, murmur. When we are in this state, you know, when we're complaining and murmuring, there's something that we like to do, and we see it in the children of Israel as they were traveling in the wilderness. They did this to Moses. They were, you know, they were murmuring and complaining. And it seems like, you know, Moses didn't do this right, and he didn't do that right. And so they were judging him. And when we're murmuring and complaining, we need to be, you know, that's the next thing that we're going to find ourselves doing, is we're going to start blaming each other for, or we're going to try to blame others for what's taking place in my life. And in verse 9 here, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." You know, this is a warning. This is a warning to us, I believe, that how displeased God is with a grumbling heart, you know, a complaining heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 10, I believe, "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." You know, they murmured and complained, and they were destroyed. So, there's a big reminder here that, you know, we're to be patient. We're to endure. And if, you know, if we fail to do that in life, we're probably going to start doing what we see here in verse 9 is we're going to start, you know, grumbling and complaining, and then that turns into blaming others for the problems that we think that we have. So the challenge, the encouragement is to do those things and not to complain. And then in verse 10 and 11 there, you know, it talks about the prophets and how they've handled life in the example of suffering and affliction and of patience that they had. And that is the encouragement of who we should follow after is they endured the trials and temptations of life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, a verse I would like to read. "For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." And I think maybe Melvin had shared a little bit on this in the verse there that he read. You know, when we do poorly and we're punished for it, we know that we deserve that. But when we do well and people come against us and we're persecuted for them, you know, those are times that we have to have a reason for what we do. If we're doing it for ourselves, we will find ourselves failing miserably in these tests. But if we're doing them for the Lord, for Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins, and he rose again, that I might have life. And if we're doing it for that Jesus, it makes all the difference. Then we can stand up and be joyful in those trials. In James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." So, in closing, that is the promise that we have. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. May God bless each one of you.